You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm here today with Georgette Vale from Wyndham and Attleborough Talking Newspaper. Hi Georgette, thank you for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio. How are you?
We're fine.
Can you tell me when Wyndham and Attleborough Talking Newspaper started and how it works?
Right, so Wyndham and Attleborough Talking Newspaper, well, it started on the 10th of April, and I remember that because it was my birthday, 1998. We'd moved into the town in 97, although my husband Tony, who's also present, he'd been involved with two other talking newspapers beforehand. That's how I met him, first of all, through Stowmarket Talking Newspaper, and then we moved away and were involved with Biggleswade Talking Newspaper. And when we moved here to Wyndham, there was no talking newspaper, so we set about getting it organised. So it started on Good Friday, 10th of April, 1998. That was the day that the Good Friday Agreement was also signed. So how does it work? Well, since then, we, like other talking newspapers, have been providing the local news in audio format for visually impaired listeners. We collate the news, used to be what's in the newspapers, but now there's a bit of a problem in that there aren't the local newspapers that there used to be. So we're having to get news items from elsewhere, including Facebook and local parish magazines and things like that, to compile them. We record on a Friday. We used to record every week on a Friday, but after COVID, we were losing listeners quite dramatically. As with all other talking newspapers in the country, there are a lot less listeners than there used to be. I think it's fair to say that in the 70s and 80s, that was the heyday of the talking newspapers. Basically, in those days, there was very little other means that visually impaired people could find out what was going on in their local area. You'd get mostly national news on the radio, but you wouldn't get how much money the Scouts had raised in their jumble sale, for example. Not that kind of local news to your local area. So the talking newspapers really came to the fore in the 70s and 80s once you had the multi-copying devices and people were sending them out on cassettes. Since then, it was about 10, 15 years ago now, we changed from cassettes to memory sticks. We provide the memory stick players. And as I was explaining earlier, membership has dwindled a lot, largely because younger visually impaired people are getting their news from other means. They're getting it on gadgets that talk to them in the same way as their sighted peers are. So talking newspapers, I suppose one day they will be a thing of the past, but we're still keeping going for those that still want their news that way.
How many volunteers and listeners do you currently have?
We're currently sending out about 30 memory sticks now. When we started, it was 100. 100, 20 years ago, was about par for the course for two small towns as we are. Most other places would have been about the 100, and they are all down to about the 30 now. So it's a third of listeners that we used to have 20 years ago. I'm not sure how many volunteers we have. I think probably about the same number in some ways. But of course, the other thing is that we do have listeners listening online, because it's put onto our website and it also goes onto the British Wireless for the Blind website, and that makes it easier for Alexa, etc. to find it. So we don't actually know how many listeners we have via that means. And of course, they could be anywhere. Very big news just in the last couple of days. We've been told that the British Wireless for the Blind will be not able to continue with that service. And the Talking News Federation is frantically trying to make a new version so that that will continue. So the talking newspapers will be able to be heard online. They are currently, and we hope to be able to continue that, basically. But that's very hot off the press, so we're not quite sure where that's going right now, but we'll find out soon.
What is your involvement in the talking newspaper?
Well, personally, I'm secretary. Now, that means taking the minutes at the meeting, etc. And Tony, my husband, is the chair. But that also means that I'm also a reader, as many other people are readers. We often get requests for help And it's usually from people that are ringing up saying they want to be a reader. And when you say, well, actually, there are lots of other jobs that we need doing, such as help with the technical side of things, help with compiling the news, they're not quite so interested. So for anyone that is looking to volunteer for talking newspapers, there are lots of other jobs, not just the readers. But I am a reader as well, but I'm also heavily involved with most things that go on, let's put it that way. We also have several volunteers that need being reminding when it's their turn to turn up and things like that. So that's something that would be nice if we didn't have to do that, but we do sometimes. So my involvement is, well, lots of odd bits of jobs as well as the reading, taking the stuff to the post office afterwards, putting it in the articles for the blind, free post wallets, sorting out when we have new listeners, either myself or Tony will take a new player to them, explain to them how it all works.
How are you actively promoting the Talking Newspaper and how is this currently going?
So actively promoting it, that's always a difficult one. Personally, I'm a rehab officer for visually impaired people myself, although I'm currently retired, newly retired, and I haven't worked in the area that I've lived in for some time. I have to say that whenever I've worked in places, people have said, oh, Talking Newspaper referrals have gone up. And I think that's just because when I'm visiting people, I think to mention the Talking Newspaper. So it really is a case of trying to get those that are doing the home visits to be aware of what Talking Newspapers are and to suggest them to people. Very often you'll go to somebody and the first, no, I don't want that, I don't want that. And then afterwards they'll come back and say, what you mean to say that somebody's reading out the news and it's being sent through the post? And why didn't I know about that? And I said, well, when it was first offered, you didn't want it. And that's something that we'd be really nice if we could have sort of second bites at the cherry all the time, because very often when people are first registered sight impaired, it's one of a myriad of things that they really don't want to know about at the time. So we do keep tabs with the local professionals. Would be nice if we could have more links backwards and forwards with that. Most of our referrals do come through either somebody knowing somebody knowing somebody else. When we do get new referrals, we do have to check that they are legally entitled to receive the articles for the blind free post. We could, of course, be providing services to somebody who isn't even visually impaired. Somebody who, for instance, can't hold the newspaper, but would be able to listen to it. But then, of course, the articles for the blind free post doesn't apply. So if we do that, we would either have to pay the postage, or in many cases now, people are just told, well, you can listen to it online. And so that's the main difference between now and 20 years ago, you can listen to it online. We do like to keep in the public eye. So whenever there are events going on in town, we would have a little stand explaining what we do. And so if somebody will come along and say, oh, I know somebody who might benefit from that, can I take your details and pass the word on? It's just a question of getting our names out as much as we possibly can.
How can people get in touch to learn more about the Talking Newspaper?
Well, the thing about Talking Newspapers is it's very local. So obviously, we're happy to take referrals from anyone in the Wyndham and Attleborough district or anywhere in South Norfolk. We're actually quite happy to provide our details and pass it on to people who've lived here and have moved away. Because it's going through the post, it doesn't really matter how far it travels. So we can provide it from anywhere in the country. But obviously, people who live in any other part of the country aren't going to be interested unless they know that area. For your listeners, it might be useful to know about the Talking News Federation. That is a national umbrella body for talking newspapers. So if you go on to the Talking News Federation, TNF for short, then you can get details of your local talking newspaper and find out who the main contact is and how you would make contact to inquire about getting it yourself.
Thanks, Georgette, for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio.
You're welcome.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.